Here we are, the second episode of Soca Therapy Sessions. You know, they start rolling now, you know. Yeah. One-on-one with different artists. The first one was Nadia Batson. If you haven't heard that one yet, just go back in my podcast or check my SoundCloud. It's up. But this is the second episode, and it's crazy. I have the opportunity to sit down with Soca royalty. I talk in her lineage is actually from the creator of the genre that I play. It's kind of one of those poor raising moments that I get to talk to the granddaughter of Ras Shorty I, Lord Shorty, Ms. Nyla Blackman. You're going to hear some crazy stories. We get to chop it up a little bit. So I hope you enjoy. Just, you know, sharing is caring. Let people know at Soca Prince. This is Nyla Blackman.
So why do you get the, like, soul chair and I get, like, this? I think you deserve the space.
So what are you trying to say about the size? what are you trying to tell me?
No, what kind of thing is that? I wish I was a little bit more, you know.
A little more
confined.
Well, see, I didn't know if we would have all the other guests. I didn't know what was happening,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
All right. So we hear Soca Therapy Sessions.
Soca Therapy Sessions.
You like that?
Nobody briefed me.
No?
You were in the car with me the whole time. You didn't brief me.
No,
Soca Therapy Sessions.
But we had a good talk. So. Yeah, so we hear Dr. J and the beautiful Nyla Blackman.
Hi.
And so you're born San Fernando.
Yes.
And everybody, well, I shouldn't say everybody. A lot of people know the history.
Yes.
Granddaughter of the late and great Lord Shorty, Ras Shorty, right?
Yes.
When did you first start singing?
I really started singing, actually, at 4 years old. I think that was when I had my first performance. I think I was singing before that, but I had my first performance at 4 years old for the NJAC Pioneers Calypso competition. I was super shy. Mm-hmm. And I kept on singing all through the years as a child. And when I started writing and creating my own music was when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's when I got, like, serious, you
okay.
know?
Okay. And it hasn't always been soca, though?
No, it has, and it hasn't, because from a child, I would sing a lot of calypso and soca music, yes. Mm-hmm. So from 4 to 12, and even onwards, my mom would write my songs. Sometimes I attempted. Mm-hmm. Soca really wasn't my thing. When I started playing the guitar and writing my own songs, I didn't do soca then.
Okay.
I was singing just a different type of music. I don't even know what label to put it in. Some people say alternative. Some people say indie. It's just very broad.
I've heard folk.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But while I was creating my music, I was always doing soca as well, because my mom would write me songs and put me in the competitions and Sandfest and this and that, Best Village. You know, there's mm-hmm. always things that I kept to the roots of soca doing, but I didn't really consider that, like, my music. You know,
okay.
I was like, oh, I'm just doing this for this and I'm doing that for that, but this is really my music.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. It's funny because there's a parallel with me. Because I was born in Toronto, mm-hmm. right? Dad's Trinidadian, mom's Guyanese, and it was one of those things where I grew up around the music so much mm-hmm. that I played it, but it was only for, like, the family gatherings, a little, you know, school alumni dances,
yeah.
and I never took it serious. For me, you know, you wanted to play the hip hop or whoever it was that, as
yeah.
you said, you more identified with, because this is what all my friends liked, so that's what I had to do in our own school dances and so on, right? And then there came a moment in which it just clicked, and I realized, well, this is my culture and I identify with it and I love it.
Yeah.
So for you, did you feel that obligation based on who your grandfather was?
I definitely did. It was partially because I am the granddaughter of the creator, and it was partially because, you know, your grandparents, your elders in general tell you, oh, well, charity begins at home, this begins at home,
right.
that begins at home, everything begins at home. And for a long time, my aunts and uncles, they would tell me whenever they heard my songs, they're like, oh, these are beautiful creations, but come home. And I'm like, what do you mean come home? I'm right here. They're like, no, you're not right here. Like, come home, you know, come home with your music. Like, sound more local, sound more
right.
Trini. So, and I always had that thought in my mind. And I was doing my thing, singing in different spots and whatever in Trinidad, doing my music. And I just said, you know, I always want to be on that big stage. Like, I don't want to stay in this small circle, like, forever. You know, I can't be that artist that just sees the same people in the same
right.
audience. They love you, but it's like, you're not getting to express yourself fully as an artist if nobody's actually there to critique and say, no, we don't like this. No, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have that audience. So I was like, nothing else gives you a big audience in Trinidad than soca music.
True.
And it just comes back to come home, Nyla. And it comes back to you're the grand. I get mad. Like when I meet like Spanish descendant children and they're like, oh, I don't speak Spanish. My mom is Spanish. My dad is Spanish. But I don't speak. I'm like, you were raised in a house with Spanish speaking people and you don't speak Spanish.
Right.
It's like me. I was raised in a house with soca and Calypsonians and I don't sing a soca.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah. That
so
was
for you, actual. How do you make that balance of, I guess, your own identity while still paying homage to the elders in your life?
Well, it was really hard and I'm still learning. I'm still trying to have that balance, and I don't think I've even found that balance as yet.
Mm-hmm.
But my attempts were really good attempts, I would say. And I think it's all about just understanding who you are. I think it's a big part about knowing what you know, one side of the balance, because it's what you hear and what you see and what you know to be soca music. But then you have to also understand who you are as an artist and who, what is your expression,
right?
So you know it because you've seen this side, but this side is the side that's unknown, that you're still figuring out. So you don't want to go too much to what you already know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just a really, it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, one thing I've noticed about you is that you're very, what's the word? Transparent on social media, right? If somebody wants to know who Nyla is, there's not a machine that is pushing, like people could really see who you are through your stories
Thank you. So on,
right? So is that something that was important to you to connect directly to the fan base, I guess?
I definitely thought so, because I felt like for a point in time, I felt like that was lacking through my music.
Mm-hmm.
Because soca is a type of, it's a party genre, let's say. It's very carnival oriented, and I'm not that carnival artist, you know. I don't wake up any morning, every morning, I'd be like, everyone, jump, baby. I'm not that person.
I can't believe that. What?
I am not that person. So I just felt like if that's what they hear from me and that's what they feel for me for my music, I feel like they need to get to know like the silly, regular person. People come to me and they say, oh, you're so down to earth. And I'm like, because this is earth, like, we're right here, like, we're right here, you know what I mean? And I always want people to understand that I'm just a regular person, but I'm not a regular person, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's good that you could identify that within yourself. So, okay, see how you just talked about soca being that carnival genre then, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel about the progression of soca? Do you feel it's going to stay in that cycle, or where do you see it?
It's definitely not going to stay in that cycle, because as I said before, soca till I die. And I can't let it stay in that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, as a young one of the genre, and they always say the youth are the future, I personally wouldn't let it stay in that cycle, because I believe that soca is bigger than carnival. Carnival is huge and carnival will always be there. Carnival will always live on and we'll always have soca music to play in carnival. Carnival is great, but soca is bigger than carnival. So I intend to take soca music out of that carnival realm so that people could feel everyday regular things with soca music. You know what I mean? You could feel depressed with soca music, but still be happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. So how do you see soca evolving then? You see more of those emotions in the music, I guess?
I think it needs to have more emotions, because I feel like we have this one, soca has this one emotion, which is like, let's have fun. Let's party. Let's,
wine and jam. Yeah.
Let's wine and jam.
Jump
let's
on
live
wave.
Like no tomorrow. Throw your stress away. Have the most fun you've ever had in your life. And it's like life is deeper than that. You know what I mean? There's some love songs. I mean, there are certain parts of it that are shown, but I think that a lot more emotion needs to come out of soca music so that everybody anywhere around the world can identify with it really and truly, because sometimes people don't like soca music just because they don't understand it, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
And it should be a music that everybody understands, and that's music cross barriers. Music the whole point of music is that you don't have to speak the same language to 100%. Understand music. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I just think it needs to take it to a universal level where the content coming out of it is not just based on this one festival.
Right.
And it's just feelings. It's just human nature. People, yeah. we're all the same, actually.
Yeah, it's true. So, and one thing I've noticed now is there's a lot of American artists in particular that are gravitating towards soca. So we saw Maya has a song she just released for Jamaica mm-hmm. Carnival. Ashanti did the collaboration with Marshall. How do you feel about that? Because I've seen people online, some people talk about it being cultural appreciation. Some people say, well, it's cultural appropriation. So how do you see that happening?
Well, I mean, I'm in full support of it because mm-hmm. if I was supposed to fall in love with some Afro beats, like, would that be cultural?
Right.
Like, no,
right.
Like,
It's just you love it,
you know what I mean? And we should be thankful and grateful that people that are recognized and people that are doing, that have done big things can appreciate and support our culture. We should look at them and be like, thank you. You know what I mean? Because that's also taking soca further and taking it to another side of the world that it probably haven't been. People in Australia know Maya and Ashanti. And who knows? Like, it just takes it further than it already was. So we should just be happy. We should say it's cultural appreciation, you know? Yeah. It's appreciating.
For sure. Especially because what I've noticed so far is that it seems like it's done in an authentic way. It's not, you know, a different, you know, American-based or whatever producer that is trying to make something sound like this.
Yeah.
You know, they work in with Travis or whoever, Ants, and so on and so forth, where it's sounding authentic.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, I don't know. For me, when I hear some of these things and I see some of the comments online, you know, and I saw some of the pushback with the Ashanti in particular, and it became, well, no, she loves it and she really, you know, I saw she was taking pictures. She'd been more parts of Trinidad than I have.
Like, yeah,
you know
what I mean?
Like, it's one of them things where she really immersed herself into the culture.
She definitely did.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that full 100. And when I heard it, to be honest, I wasn't the biggest fan of it. But as I heard it more, like, it just really rung in my brain. And I was like, you know, I really like this song. Like, yeah. I actually do. Her voice sounded really good on it. So.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people look at that as that would open doors for the music.
Yeah.
But prior to that happening, you actually had a BET nomination.
Yes.
Right? So tell me about that moment. Where were you when you first heard about it?
I was at Anya Yonke's house.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe it. Lauren, my other manager, she showed me the email. And I was like, is somebody trying to punk us? Like, is this a prank? Like, this is not a real email. This is a spam mail. Like, this is not real. I checked the you know, to see the
address,
email, the
right.
address. And I was like, okay, this is legit. What is happening? Like, I decided to scream. Like, we drove off. Like, we were going to go. We left. And then halfway through, I was like, wait, where is my wallet? And I was so happy. I forgot my wallet on the roof. And it fell off the car somewhere. And somebody found it back. And I had to go to the police station. It was completely like, my whole day went left after that. But because I was like, my ID card, my this, my bank card, my credit card. But whatever. It doesn't matter. But I was so happy that I really, it threw off my whole day.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a really, really amazing experience to know that I was recognized as an international act. Because that's really all that I've wanted to do with soca music, is to make it not just a Caribbean music, but an international music. Yes, it's of Caribbean origins. But it's an international music. And I think we're not really seeing like a recognized genre, soca.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all on our way to doing that. And I think that was one. Because I didn't put out anything but soca at that point in time.
Right.
So that's all they know me for. And I was nominated for the Best New International Act. So
huge.
that was huge. Not just for me, but for soca.
Yeah, yeah. You know Take I mean? It forward. That was very big. So did you feel that the odds were stacked against you as you were the only, I guess, soca artist nominated in that category?
Well, no, I actually felt like the odds were stacked just for me because it's like we actually do have a huge soca following all around the world, and anybody that listens to soca music at that point in time was voting for me.
Yeah.
Anybody. And it's like,
it was crazy.
It was crazy the amount of support and love I was shown with just that nomination. It showed me the power that soca music really has, you know what I mean? So No, I felt like it worked in my favor.
Okay, good. And I noticed that they, at the time, had, I guess, advertised you, and you had mentioned just now as being from the Caribbean. Did it bother you that they didn't specify Trinidad and Tobago?
Well, no, it did not bother me because I'm always preaching Trinidad and Tobago, and I always have my flag and whatever. Mm. So anybody that knows me and wants to get to know me is soon going to find out I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, but I represent for the Caribbean because soca music is not just a Trinidadian music, even though it has Trinidadian origins. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a Caribbean music and a Caribbean sound, and that's fine. So I have a huge following in Guyana. Everybody loves me in Jamaica. Like, it's like, I represent for everybody that loves this culture. So it was fine to me that they didn't specify Trinidad and Tobago. Because if it was just for Trinidad and Tobago, I may not have been there. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah, true. So you see how you mentioned Jamaica. You've had a lot of collabs with Shensia out
just
of Jamaica,
two.
Right?
Just two.
It feels like it's been so much more, even though, yeah, it's only, yeah, you're right. Baddish and the champ. Well, you don't know what to call it.
Champion girl.
There's a whole battle of what to name it, right?
Yes.
But, how did this come together? Because it seems so organic, but it seemed like you guys could be in a Gael group together. Like, I don't understand.
Well, to be honest, when I did the song Baddish for Shensia, I didn't know her so at all. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even spoken to her. Like, we sent them the track, and they came into Trinidad. I met her in the studio.
Oh,
she was recording the song.
Oh, okay.
We had interviews the next morning. We did the show that night. We shot the video the next day in Tobago. And then I just so happened was going to Jamaica for vacation. My vacation turned into all about Baddish. So we met again in Jamaica. And everybody on that video shoot was like, they know each other. Like,
right.
You guys could never have just met. Like, they're just like, they just act like if they're friends. Like, they just so click, and they're so, everybody said it. They were like, I can't, you guys knew each other from before. And we're like, no, we just didn't. You know, like when you meet somebody and you just mesh, you just gel. And carrying on after the song was released and it got so popular and we did more shows together and we linked up even more. Like, it was just like, we should just do a whole album. Let's do it. No, we really were thinking about doing a lot more. But then, you know, we both realized we have our own thing going on with our lives and how we plan to do it. And, you know, we're very different. Even though we get along very well, we're very different in terms of, you know, she's Jamaican and she has a sort of modus operandi about how she sells herself.
Okay.
And I do as well. And they are very different. So we just said, you know, let's just do one last shebang. And, you know.
Also, you're not doing any more.
Well, I didn't say that.
Okay.
But that was the.
One last shebang sounds like that's it, you know.
Well.
Party done.
I didn't say that was it. But let's just say that we have all. We're not a girl. We're not a girl band.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We're not a girl gang.
Right.
We're doing our own thing with our own careers. And she's doing very well. And I am as well. So
yeah, 100%.
We're just chilling for the world.
All right. So let's say dead or alive, if you could do a collab with anybody, who would that be?
Dead or alive, if I could do a collab, Amy Winehouse, for sure. Amy Winehouse, let's see who else. Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. And my grandfather, for sure.
Yeah.
I would do a collab with Lord Shorty. I need to have it. Let's do it.
Yeah. You got to find some of them vocals and do one of those kind of, you know how they do the.
Yeah,
I think that would be dope. Okay, so what is next for you? Now, on social media, there was a lot of talk about the camp that you did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming there's going to be some work that's coming out from this.
Yes, there is.
So I'm curious, you know, and I'm sure the world wants to know, what is next for Nyla?
Well, I mean, if I just tell you what's next, it's not going to be as cool as if I just show you what's next. But
give us a little
thing. But what I would say is that I'm kind of taking my career in a different, what's the word I'm looking for? Direction.
Okay.
Definitely. I have all this. What I wanted to do from day one was go mainstream as an artist. So I think I'll be doing more music outside of soca music, even though I represent for soca. And that's really because I think that not just me, but my manager, Anson, producer as well, we believe that in order to get soca on the worldwide stage from an original point of view, because I mean, soca is already on the worldwide stage,
right?
It's being done by everybody. If you listen to the, you just turn on the radio anywhere in the world, you're going to hear something that sounds like soca, but they're not calling it soca. So I think soca needs to be introduced to the world in a big way. And I think that a homegrown artist, and homegrown just meaning Caribbean, I'm Trini, so homegrown Trini, but like that, it needs to be done from one of our homegrown artists. And we think that going more mainstream with my music and then reintroducing soca to them is the way to go. So that's the plan.
Good.
The plan is to do some pop stuff, do some R&B, some hip-hop, some Afrobeat, some just give them a little of everything.
Yeah. Show all the different sides of Nyla.
Different sides and then just bam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that. We usually do a little like this or that kind of vibe where you say two things. But one thing I wanted to talk to you about before we go into that, there was a big thing that came out on social media recently where Kevin Little did an interview. And I feel he was kind of baited by the interviewer, to be honest, right?
I heard about that.
Yeah. So, but
I didn't see it though, but I heard about it.
Okay. So what it was is basically the interviewer was trying to tell him, well, a lot of people look at you like a one-hit wonder and what do you think? And they kind of baited him like that and he kind of took the bait. And his argument was, well, Turn Me On is a monster hit, right? And what this has done for soca and how far it has gone, that one hit is like 30 hits of Marshall and Bungie. And he actually said that. So there's a lot of pushback and, you know, social media has their opinion and stuff. So I don't want to go into that because, you know, people will take it and be like, what do you mean Nyla said this? So for me, it's more of, I want to take it from the perspective of if you had a choice to have one monster commercial hit and it's just the one, or is it that you would be in this carnival cycle for the next 20, 30 years? What would you choose? Would you choose that one monster commercial success or staying within the culture and doing that circuit as we know for?
Well, I mean, seeing that you're only giving me two options, I would choose that one monster hit, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But
give me the reason why. Because I know obviously like, I'm not putting you in a box where you can only do one monster hit.
Yeah,
but I'm
okay,
saying
if, thank you very
right,
much.
Yeah, I'm not dissing you like that.
Because
but I'm saying if you had to choose,
I would definitely choose that because, I mean, at least it would be where soca music would have been heard by people that are not just loving carnival and that are loving that circuit, you know, that in the culture to know Bacchanal means this,
right.
Like Brocket Dung means this, like, you know, people who are not in touch with our lingo, our culture, or anything would have heard soca music and say, I like this song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important. People anywhere in the world, Sweden, Australia, Japan, Philippines, wherever, like they would have heard that song and be like, what is this? And somebody would be like, oh, that's a music called soca. And they would be like, I like soca.
Mm.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
I think that's mad important. But what I would say is that I would want a second song and a third song and a fourth song and a fifth song and let's keep it going.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You're not quitting at that.
No, we're not quitting at. We're not doing the one hit wonders. We're not. That is not a wonder. Let's do a trillion hit wonder.
Yeah,
let's do that.
All right. So, I mean, one thing we talked about earlier, but I think the people would want to know this. If we're doing a this or that. So, if we're doing pancakes or French toast? I'll start you off easy.
French toast, hey.
Because you don't like things that just come out of your box and make it easy.
No. Well, not just that, because I just think it tastes better. And I love eggs, so
All right.
French toast is it.
So when it comes to movies, do you like comedy or romance?
Comedy.
Okay.
Any day.
So you like to laugh?
I love to laugh.
Who's your favorite comedian? Do you have one? Or
To be honest, I don't have one, but I mean, Kevin Hart is pretty funny. Like, there's this girl. To be honest, I don't know most of their names. I just know when I see their face, oh my gosh, I love this guy. You know what I mean? That kind of way. But I don't really know. I don't keep up with their names like that, you know? But I prefer more comedic shows.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just say that.
And I could see Kevin Hart because all you're probably the same height, so, you know? Kind of.
Come on. I'm actually taller than him.
All right. So Soca Therapy Sessions, Nyla Blackman, Dr. J. I want to ask you one more. If you had to choose between Savannah Grass and Family.
Savannah Grass.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So there was a whole talk, and I'm not saying like you don't like Family, obviously, right?
Obviously.
But if you had to, this whole road match debate?
To be honest, facts, I didn't think that Savannah Grass was a road match contender just because, like the whole point, like, of, well, I don't know. It's kind of unspoken rule, but they always say, like, road match have to be a power. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just agree. Like, when you're on the road, like, you just want that, like, driving music. And Savannah Grass was a very laid-back kind of song. It was, I mean, it was faster, but it wasn't necessarily, like, a power soca. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it would have been nice to have a change in BPM for a road match, and let's just take it back a little bit and do something different. I would have loved that, to be honest. I was in full support of that. So in that standpoint, I'm kind of biased, but I just like Savannah Grass more as a song. And to be honest, when I first heard it, I did not like it.
Really?
No, I did not. And because I was like, Savannah Grass, like, you didn't have anything better to sing about, Kes. Like, the grass, really? The grass? And right. I was just, but then the more I heard it, the beat was so infectious. I was like, whoa, what's happening? No. The beat was so infectious. And Kes has a beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it just made me feel like the Savannah Grass. Right, like, it started to get into me. Okay. And I actually had a friend from Canada, and she was, like, playing the song all the time. Every time the song came on, she's like, having so much fun. And I was watching her, like, look at this. Because this girl, like, I was getting annoyed. But it's always when you find that song, like, not that great, is when you will fall in love with it.
True, that's true. It's like, so for your own music, have you ever, like, fallen in love with it? Because it seems like a lot of these big tunes, you don't like right away. So I wonder, like, when you hear your own stuff in the studio, does it take a while to catch you? Or?
Well, to be honest, if I don't like it off the bat, then I'm not going to put it out.
Okay.
To be honest. Because then I'm going to be like, well, people are not going to like it off the bat. And I want people to like my songs off the bat. But one song I would say that did that to me of my own, that I did put out still, was Birthday Song.
Okay.
I felt like if it was, it grew on me. It grew on me to be that birthday song real. Mm-hmm. And I think it grew on people as well, because it wasn't a smash off the bat. Like, it really was a song that grew on people, you mm-hmm. know. So I think they have a similar taste as I do.
Nice. And with Brave, how did this come together? Because I remember I saw you on Uber Soca Cruise. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think it was around breakfast time, and Anton had said, gee, listen, we have our power, you know. And I was like, whatever, King. Like, stay in your lane. It's soca till I die. Don't give me that. He's like, no, we have power, Jay.
Well, you know, he actually wasn't talking about Brave then.
At that time, no?
No. He was talking about the collab with Fan.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay,
he was talking about touchdown. The touchdown. Oh, okay. Yes. That was the one that we had at that point in time.
Oh, okay.
Yep. We were working on it. And when we saw them on the cruise, we even worked on it on the cruise, actually.
Oh, okay.
So that one was our real, that was the power for the year, whatever. We had Bang Bang as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we actually did Bang Bang in Toronto.
Oh, yeah?
You did.
Oh, okay.
It was co-produced by another Toronto producer, mm-hmm. 12 Keys. He was also at our camp that we're doing my album with. Mm-hmm. So we had those two songs, and Brave literally happened in the space of 3 days. Like, it happened in the space of 3 days, because I was going to do something for Earth and Alpha, having an unplugged thing, and we were doing a commercial for it. And I was headed down the road, and Anson was like, you know, I think I'm going to come with you. And I was like, why? You said you were going to. He's like, no, I think I'm going to come with you. So we went down to Porter's Bain, and I didn't even know what was going on. He's like, guys, I have an idea. I think you guys should do a collab together. I'm like, so which one? He said, no, like, all three of y'all. I was like, okay. He played the beats. I didn't even hear the beat before. Mm-hmm. And it was so dope. And second time, I was like, bad, let me go to the studio, bad, let me do it. Hey, one time. And then Irfan was like, I'll let you know, thing. He was more like reserved, you know, I have some plans and I can't really, you know, I have to sort out my life, and long story. And then we were like, well, let's see how it goes. Next day, Irfan called him early in the morning. We came in the studio that same day. We literally had most of the song down. The next day, we shot the video.
All seen.
And then the day after that, we came and we finished the song after the video was shot.
So quick.
Quick.
Jeez.
That it just happened like that.
And what I like about that was that without the machine of radio, because what I noticed is it really connected with the people. through the performances.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much of the media tour. I mean, you did obviously your interviews, you have to do that. But what I noticed from the outside looking in was the videos and the people doing the dances and so on. It really just connected. It just had that organic feeling.
If there was more time to promote really and truly, it would have teared up the whole carnival. But because it happened so last minute and everybody was already into the songs that they had already liked.
Right,
and it was at that point in time where nobody really was releasing new music because it's like, oh, we have all these songs we need already. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good music for this carnival, I would say.
There really is.
Yeah,
I really like it. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Me.
Is there any last thing you want to let people know
I
aside from this
say
album?
Shouts to the Night Army for always supporting me, for being there with me every step of the way. When I said that I wanted to do an international album on my Instagram, everybody was like, full support. We love you. Let's do this. And I just want to say thank you for your undying support and love. Night Army.
All right. All right. Big up. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.